us from within. Without your holy presence, our lives are lived in vain. Lord, we want to know you, live our lives to show. Was broken because you saw the need, because you gave so freely, because of Calvary. Completed creations and filled with you alone. Lord, we want to know you, live our lives to show. As we seek your face, may we know your heart, feel your presence, acceptance. As we seek your face, oh, the love we
it's good to have him here with us this Sunday night. I think the last Sunday night that Jesse was scheduled to sing a solo. He didn't quite make it in here before we got to preach, but he did tell me he's sorry he didn't make it, but I'm certainly glad you shared that message and song tonight to prepare our hearts for hopefully the message tonight that God would bless our hearts from the Word of God. And I'm excited about being here tonight and have an opportunity to preach tonight, and I pray that God would use this time and use me to be a blessing to you. I want to say, as pastors talked about last week, or these last few weeks have best been just full of so many things going on in my life, and I know that God is working in my life, and I'm thankful that he is, and I just want to be what God wants me to be and be a blessing to you tonight as well. But I want to start and preface it this way, is that I thought about everything that's going on in my life. I think about the classes that I'm taking, the conference, and just things that God is doing in my life, and how it has been so full of so many things that my heart and my mind is racing in so many different directions. It's almost sometimes hard to just stop and focus on the things that God wants us to focus on and think about. I want to say this tonight as I was thinking about sharing a message from one of the classes that I've been studying, and it talked about the unforgotten God. And when I think about the unforgotten God, it is the Holy Spirit of God that we tend to forget that he is God. Amen. And we don't allow him to work in our lives the way that he really wants to. And I say it this way because the Holy Spirit of God wants to have an intimate relationship with us. What a tremendous thought when you think about that. Amen. I think about him in that way. And I thought about that. And then another class that I'm taking, just two classes that are going on. And another one is talking about just the importance of evangelization, evangelizing the world and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ and how it is so important for us as Christians to be witnessing and telling people about the Lord. And one of the papers that I had to write was just telling us about the importance of relationship evangelization. How we can take our lives in everyday conversation and turn those conversations around because of the everyday things that people go through, we should be able to turn it to the gospel message and share that with them as well. And I thought about that. And then I go to the conference, and of course, when you go to the conference, you hear so many things about so many things, but really what it got back to was our defense of this intolerant movement that's going on in this world today. And we as Christians shouldn't give in to it because God is still God. Amen. God still wants us to be witnesses. And that is still a sin and an abomination to God. But we ought not hate the person, but hate the sin and love the person because that's what God wants us to do. And then Teresa and I began to read this book by Dr. Ouellette. And one of the blessings of reading it, we both were up to about the seventh chapter. And we did all of it in almost a week. And we were reading and we're talking about it. And we were just so excited about the things that he was sharing with us about just life and things that we struggle with in our lives. And one of the things that I was telling the young people this morning, sometimes when there are so many things pulling at us and grabbing at us, that we tend to not stop and hear the still voice of the Lord. Because God only speaks to us in a small, still voice. So I began to pray because of all of these things that are going on in my life. And I said, well, God, what would you have me to say tonight that would be a blessing to your people? Because I believe we all need to hear from you. And I want to hear from you as well. And I want us to take our Bibles and also to turn to the book of Genesis. And the book of Genesis is the book of the beginnings as we know it to be. And I want us to think about tonight some things that we're going to look at. A thing that I read in the book that Dr. Ouellette wrote. And it was such a tremendous encouragement to me. I decided, you know, like sometimes, Brother Serge, we say, we read something and then we start just chasing the rabbit that's out there. Or sometimes when you get a chance to preach, you just start chasing rabbits and you kind of get off course. But I want to stay on course tonight. But I want to share with you some thoughts about what I read with that. When I think about, we're going to talk about, as most of us are familiar with, Genesis chapter 50. I'm going to talk about Joseph and his life and the things that were going on in Joseph's life. I want us to think about tonight and read these passages of scriptures. We're going to read chapter 50 and verse number 19, 20, and 21. Let's all stand if you're able to stand. And we're going to read this area of scripture. And I want to share some thoughts with you tonight that I believe that Joseph can help us with some things that go on in our lives that would be a blessing to us. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, he's talking about his brothers because we all know the story of what happened with his brothers and how they sold him into slavery. But as we pick it up here, and it says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people. He says, and now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones and be a comfort to them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. And God, we thank you for just allowing us to be here tonight and the privilege that we have to preach your word and to share some truths that would be a blessing to your people. And I pray tonight that even as we look at Joseph's life and some things that we can share tonight of thinking how things that go in our life, and the message tonight would be God meant it unto good. Bless now, I pray. Fill me with your spirit. Empty me of self. God, I pray you forgive me of any sin that would be a hindrance to what you want to say and do in our hearts and lives tonight. in a special way. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we think about Joseph tonight, and as we're reading, I was reading the book, and he was talking about just some things that's going on that we struggle with. And I want us to think about it tonight. How many of you have been in a situation? I don't have it on. I'm not on. I walk away from the mic, and then you can't hear me. Let's see that. Get it. Make sure I got it on. I thought it was just mute. Okay, and I turn it on, and it's not on. And it's on now. Can you hear me now? Hey. All right, you can hear me now. Let me ask you a question tonight. How many of you all have ever felt like you've been mistreated?
Amen.
We call it unjust and how we've been treated. I want us to think about it tonight because all of us have been in that situation. We all have been treated unfairly. And I'm sure that we could look back in our lives and see things that have happened and feel like we've been treated unfair in so many ways, in so many instances. And I believe that Joseph is probably one of the greatest examples that could look back in his life and see what he went through and what he happened. And he could say what he said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He's in a place and what he went through in his Christian life, he knew and realized he was there because of what God wanted to do in his life. And I believe sometimes when we get caught up in the injustices that go on in our lives, we don't see the forest, as I can say, we don't see the forest for the trees because we get so inundated with what's going on, we fail to see that, you know what, God may have you where you are because that's where God wants you to be. And it may seem like that people are treating you unfair, but God is never unfair. God always knows what he's doing in our lives. And I believe that God wants us to see him through all of that. Right. And when we look at Joseph's life tonight, I want us to think about the injustice that he went through. Because God allowed him to go through what he was going through. In other words, I believe throughout this chapter or throughout the book of Genesis, when we get to Joseph's life, every time that something happened to Joseph, he never lost his vision of who God was in his life.
That's right.
And when we're being mistreated and injustice come in our lives, if we would take the time and think about where God is, because we missed the point, I believe, in a lot of situations. So we think about tonight, first of all, I want us to think about the harshness of the reality of injustice. The Bible tells us in Job chapter 5 and verse 7, yet man is born under trouble. As the sparks fly upward, man is going to have trouble in his life. Think about this verse, John 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 15 and verse 20 says this, remember the Lord that I said unto you that the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If ye then, if they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Injustice happens throughout the Bible and throughout our lives. I think about it today. We look at the Bible, there's so many characters throughout the Bible that we can look back at and we see them being treated unjustly. You think about Daniel. Here it was. Daniel wanted to just to pray to his God three times a day, and yet he was being treated unfair because he wouldn't bow down to the king and pray and do what the king would have him to do. He just wanted to pray to his God, and he was treated unfairly. I think about even in our culture today, and one of the things that they would tell you, we have all the right in the world to feel mistreated and want to get back at people because people can always treat us right, and we should be able to retaliate, and that's what the world would want us to do, but that's not what God would have us to do.
That's
not what God wants us to do when we're even being treated unjustly and unfairly. Because it's going to happen in your life.
Right.
It's almost like we say it this way. If you haven't been in it, you're going to go in it. If you've gone in it, you be in it, you're going to come out of it. You might come out of it, but you're going to go right back into it because we're going to always be faced with times where we're going to feel like we've been treated unfairly.
That's right.
Why do people want to do that to you? I think sometimes we miss the picture or we miss the point. You think about Joseph's life. And most of us, we won't do it tonight. We could go back to the history of Joseph's life and see how Joseph was born into a family, as we call today, call it a what do you call it, a
unfunctional, is that the word for dysfunctional house, a home, and yet Joseph was put in a situation to where his father was probably the greatest influence of the way that Joseph's brothers talked to, Joseph's brother dealt with him. A lot of it was Jacob's fault because of the way that he treated Joseph and the way that he presented Joseph to his brothers. You know, and I think in our lives today, when we think about the harshness of injustice, most of us have experienced it on the job. We experienced it from people that we work with. We experienced it from church members. But one of the hardest things for us to understand about unjustly and being treated unfairly is when it comes to our family. But you know what? They'll be one of the ones that will probably hurt you the most.
That's right.
And it doesn't feel good when we believe that somebody that we love or somebody that ought to care about us treats us unfairly. I could go back and tell you many of things, and most of us sitting here under the sound of my voice tonight, you could go back through your life and see there are so many times that things have happened and it was a family member that disappointed you the most and hurt you the most. But it's going to happen.
That's right.
And think about Joseph now. I want us to look at Joseph. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter number 37 as we kind of set the foundation. But before we go there, I wanted you to notice something. Turn back with me, and we're going to look at some scripture tonight. And we're home folk, and I hope that this will be a blessing to you. Look at Genesis chapter 45. And here Joseph now, his brothers have come to him. And Genesis chapter 45 and verse number 5, it says, "Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Notice the word God. Then he goes on, he says, "For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which they shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me, but God."
Amen.
I like that because here Joseph is facing them, these same ones that we're going to look at in Genesis chapter 37. I like what Joseph did because even at the end of his life and throughout his life, we're going to see tonight that Joseph still viewed his life and recognized and saw God working in his life. But we go back here to our first point. We think about the harsh reality of injustice. We think about Daniel, how he was mistreated. We think about Saul and how he pursued David. And David hadn't did anything to him unjustly, but yet Saul pursued him. And throughout history, we see these things happening. But when we get to Joseph's family, I believe a lot of, again, as we said already, was brought on because of how his dad treated him. Look at Genesis 37 and verse number 3. He says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more, they loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." See, when you think about it tonight, his brothers treated Joseph the way that they did because they hated Joseph because the father showed a favoritism towards Joseph. And he's not just talking about he loved Joseph, but he loved Joseph more than he did any of his brothers. And that is one of the hardest things for us when you think about as a child that one of your parents would love your brother or siblings more than you. And yet you could see it. And you feel like you're being mistreated. And so Joseph's brothers now are going to act out this injustice toward their brother because of what they saw and how they saw how their dad treated them because of their brother. They hated him. They didn't like him. And that's injustice. And sometimes we get that from our family members. But let me say this to you tonight, parents, and you got more than one child. You need not show favoritism in such a way that your children end up hating each other. And you favor them in such a way that you make them feel like they're being treated injustice because you know what's going to happen. They're going to act out that injustice towards something or somebody.
Amen.
Is it the right thing to do? No, it's not the right thing to do. But we can bring that on and see that happen because of the way we treat them. And not to say that Joseph's brother had the right to do that, because I'm sure Joseph, if we think about it, I'm going to make you all bow down before me. They probably didn't want to hear that either. But you know what we're going to see, or we can see, we might not explore that tonight, that Joseph's dreams did come true.
Right.
But what I want us to see tonight, see how harshness of injustice can happen because of our past. That's why sometimes we can get caught up as Christians to treat other people unjustly because of the way that we've been treated. And when we ask why, that's why it happens that way.
That's right.
And we have to be careful that we don't allow that unjustness of how we can be treated. It doesn't give us the right to treat other people unjust because you've been treated unfair. Y'all with me tonight?
Amen.
Because I can tell you a story that happened in my own life, the way my dad treated me, some things that he did. But you know what? I thank tonight, God tonight, for the grace of God, that I was able to still love my dad, realize that he was lost and on his way to a devil's hell. And if I didn't show the Christ that was in me to him, I would be standing in the way of him maybe never going to heaven, because I needed to show him even the unjust way that he treated me in some things, that God still loved him. And I had received the love of God, and God allowed me to love him in spite of how he treated me. Y'all with me tonight? And that's how we need to view how Joseph is the example to us tonight. Even unjustly, Joseph, maybe he didn't understand everything that was going on. His brothers had no right to treat him that way, but his dad was probably one of the most involved corporate in all of this that caused this kind of dysfunction home to be that way. And Joseph's brothers is an example of what unjust can be like in a home and in a family. So think about it tonight, the unjust or the harshness of reality. The harshness of the reality of injustice and why it can happen, and this time how it happened in Joseph's life. So I want to think about that tonight as our first point, and we see why it can happen, because people are unjust because they have been treated unfairly. It's why people act that way sometimes. And Joseph is a perfect example of that, of this being treated unjustly. And finally, his brothers decided to take action against him because they hated how his father treated them, and they felt like they were being treated unfairly. And people, not only we see that because of the way that they've been treated, but people are unjust because they have unaware of God's master plan. See, they had no idea of what God was doing in Joseph's life. But we know the end of the story, and maybe Joseph didn't know either. And you and I, when we're being treated unjustly, we don't know what God's plan is for our lives either. But one thing I do know, and I've come to understand in my Christian life, God does know what he's doing in my life. Right. And I have to realize that God is going to allow me to go through some things in my life. And I may feel like I'm being mistreated, but you know what? God knows who's mistreating you. And when we get ahead of God, we take away the opportunity for God to be the revenger of the injustice being done to us, because we want to take matters into our own hand. Amen. And that's not what God wants us to do.
Right.
He knows what Joseph was going to go through. I don't know if Joseph knew, but one thing Joseph did do, Joseph still remained faithful to his God.
That's right.
Let's go a little further, and we look in chapter 37, and it's Joseph here. Now, they're going to act out, and y'all know the story, so just follow along. As they act out, or they act out what they wanted to do to Joseph, because they couldn't stand him. They couldn't even stand to look at him. Could you imagine every time you got up every morning, you looked at this young man in the coat of colors, and you saw him, and it was a reminder to you of how your father felt towards you. It would bother you too. Amen? So Genesis here is a perfect example of the Bible here to us, how that can happen. And manipulation couldn't have made it any easier when we think about manipulation and how it can happen. And all of these things happen in Joseph's life. And we could go back in history and see all of these things that transpired in Joseph's life. And here we see the results of it following as he comes into this family. What a tremendous testimony that he could have. And we think about everything that happened in Joseph's life, how his brothers now decide that they're going to sell him into slavery to get rid of him. We tired of looking at you? We don't want to get up every morning and see you reminding us of the injustice that we feel like that's going on in our life. So we're going to get rid of you, Joseph. We're going to sell you into slavery. Joseph had some things going on in his life that were horrible. But you know, when it comes to unjustly being treated, one of the sins that enter into our lives is bitterness. Bitterness. And let me say this about bitterness tonight. Bitterness is a choice.
That's right.
You choose to be bitter because you're making a choice to be bitter at the injustice that you feel like you're going through. And bitterness transpired in Joseph's life, from his brothers, and they chose to be that way. But Joseph here is going to go through some things because of this bitterness that his brothers had towards him. But you know what? As a Christian, we got to be willing to move on. We got to be willing to move forward. And here we want to think about it. We got two options in our lives when it comes to handling unjust things the way that happened to us. I want you to think about it. First of all, when we think about the first opinion that we give you here, is our natural response, reaction to the in the flesh. We can get in the flesh when we feel like we're being mistreated. And you know what? That's not the way God wants us to be. And when it comes to being in the flesh, you know what? You just end up having such a bitterness and so much anger that you start to lash out and act just like the other person that's treating you unjustly. And it doesn't make you any different. Matter of fact, I think it makes you worse than even the person that has offended you. And let me say this tonight. It takes more energy to be bitter than it does to take to be forgiven.
Right.
Did y'all hear that? It really does, because you're spending your life in so much bitterness and anger and clamor in such a way that God can't bless in your life. Because if you had iniquity in your heart, he will not hear you. Even your prayers won't get answered when you harbor bitterness in your life because of how somebody else treats you. So that's one option that he had. Joseph didn't choose that option. But the second option is Christ would act. This is the response to the spirit-filled Christian. 1 Peter 2, verse 23 shows us how that you and I, as a Christian, how we ought to respond to the things of God. It says here, he says that we can respond in this way unjustly. He says, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges rightly. Amen. Commit himself to him that judges rightly. You know what? They may not treat me fair. They may not do me the way that I want to be done. But you know what? God is always fair.
That's right.
He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly what it needs to change your heart about that person that's treating you unjustly. I realize tonight, if we don't learn how to have a forgiving spirit and love people in spite of how they treat us, we can never witness to them.
That's right.
See, Christ went through what he did, and he told us, as we shared in the verses we talked about first, if they hated him, they're going to hate you. Mm-hmm. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. And the same God that sees the just and the fairness that goes on in your life, he's the same God that sees the unjust that goes on in your life. And he's going to take you through it. But we got to be willing to behave the way that he wants us to behave so that God can use us. And I believe when Joseph realized this, of what was going on, he saw some things and he never lost focus of who God was. And what am I saying to you tonight is that you got to be able to see and focus on the fact that God allowed that to happen in your life. So we see the harshness of this reality, but I want you to recognize your responsibility. And Joseph is a good example of one who recognized his responsibility when it came to the things of God. God does not give us a pass to hurt others because of someone else's sin. The Lord has always dealt with us one heart at a time. Amen. Although you may be part of the cycle of unjust because of what others have done to you, you can break it with God's help as we look back at Joseph's life and see how Joseph realized that his responsibility was. Let's look at Genesis chapter 37, and we're going to see some other things that happened in Joseph's life and how Joseph's life unfolded here now. And we're going to see this good example of what Joseph now has the opportunity to retaliate. Think about it. Look at Genesis chapter 37 and look at verse number 6. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. And for behold, we have blind sheaves in the field. And lo, my sheep, that's not where I want to be. Oh, I'm in the wrong chapter. It's not 37, it's 39. Okay, now y'all with me? Everybody there, let's turn over to chapter number 39. I was reading in the wrong chapter. I said, that ain't what I want to go to. Amen? So it's 39 and verses 6 through 9. Notice what happens here now, because Joseph has already been sold into slavery. But notice here, and he left, or he's talking with Joseph, these things that happened. He's been sold to Potiphar. And verse 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass, in verse number 6, from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord was upon all that he had, and the house, and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and he said, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and he said unto her, or said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wot not what is with me in the house, and he have committed all that he had into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither have he kept back anything from me, but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" When you think about being treated unjust and unfair, here's Joseph now, because he'd been sold into slavery. Nobody knows me. I don't like what's happened to me. I can get back at Potiphar. I have every right because of what my brothers did to me. I'm a slave in a man's house. I can get revenge on him and do what his wife wants me to do. But Joseph feared God.
That's right.
He said, "How can I do this great wickedness?" Because we got a responsibility to God, no matter what happens in our lives, we still have a responsibility to God. That's right. To act in a godly way, in a God-honoring way, even when we've been treated unjustly.
That's right.
And that's the blessing that Joseph shows us tonight, because he had every opportunity to act out because of how he had been treated. But Joseph realized that he had a responsibility to Potiphar, because of his position, but his greatest debt was to his God. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's why it's so important to you and I how we behave when we're being mistreated. Because if we do, we sin against God. It's so easy to do. But Joseph chose not to. So we have a responsibility to our God to do the right thing. Even in the situation that he was in, he still chose to honor God. Even when you're being mistreated, we still got to honor God. No matter how people treat us, We owe more to God than we do even to those that are mistreating us and even to ourselves. And Potiphar had been, Joseph had been treated unfairly and owned Joseph as a slave. And he could have retaliated or rationalized. Nobody knows me. I can get away with this. I can treat him like he's treating me. But you know what? Joseph realized, and I don't think it's hard for us to see if we take the time and see the forest for the trees, that even in a situation like that, God was still blessing in Joseph's life.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not only if Joseph, the people that he was around could see the blessings in Joseph's life, do you think that Joseph could see that how blessed he was?
Right.
See, a lot of times when I say this tonight, folks, a lot of times, even in my own life, we can get so caught up in to our pity party that we don't still realize that we're still blessed of God.
Amen.
Even when we've been treated unfair. Y'all hear me talk about how I felt like since I retired from the military, the first place that I went to start working, it seemed like I had one of them antagonistic persons that was always in my skin every night, every time I went to work. You know how you get to work and I would turn the corner and I see that black Dodge truck down there, and I tell you, my whole night was ruined. This guy was just a thorn in my side. And then I leave that job and I go over to where I am right now, and there was another person. Same thing. Boy, I said, it seems like I can't get away from these people. But you know what? Through all of that, I praise God. And I ain't bragging on myself tonight, folks. I'm bragging on God that he allowed me to still love that person and still deal with it.
Amen.
Because I had every opportunity to say, because he's mistreating me, I can mistreat them. I can mistreat somebody else. But when I got ready to leave that second, that first job, when and go to that one, this person, I look back and see that when we do what's right, let God be the avenger.
That's right.
And not ourselves.
Amen.
Because we have a responsibility to God. And when we step out and try to take care of it ourselves, we relieve God of the one to take care of it. He says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay.
That's right.
Let God be God. You be who God wants you to be. And I tell you what, folks, I look at this person and his health and everything else, because it wasn't just me he was antagonized. It was everybody around him. And I look at this other person when I got to the next job, and Pastor know who I'm talking about. You know what? God allowed him to get in a situation. He didn't want to train me. He didn't want to show me how to do the job that I was trying to learn how to do. He wouldn't do all of these things. But you know what? There was opportunities, and I could tell you so many things that happened that I know for a fact I was being treated unfair. But you know what? I said, that's all right. You ain't got to show me. You ain't got to train me. But I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to love him anyway. And I began to pray and ask God to help me to be able to deal with that person.
Amen.
You know what? And God soon moved him out of the way. Some other people trained me. When he got back, he looked and said, wow, Kent, you know how to do all this stuff now. I said, yep, sure do. Let me show you. I said, no, don't bother. I'm good. I don't, you know, this may not have been the way to do it, but I was like, I know how to do it. Let me just take care of it. And to this day, or he's gone now altogether. But just a few years ago, when he came back from the job, he tried to get me a surge in the break room. And he come in there, you know, I just want to apologize to you because I realized the way I was doing things. And I said, it's good. That's good. We good. See, when we allow God to be the avenger, we have to see the victory.
Amen.
But when we harbor bitterness in our heart, we don't allow God to do anything. And then not only was Joseph mistreated, now here's Potiphar. He gets this wrong information from his wife, and they throw him into prison. And look, folks, it's just one thing after another. One thing after another. But the Bible tells us that even when Joseph went into the prison, the Lord was with Joseph.
That's right.
And I look back in my own life, and it happened when I was active duty. It happened when I got out of the military. And I look back, and I could still see the Lord was with me. And I hope tonight that you see where you are tonight, that the Lord is still with you.
That's right.
And as Pastor said it so eloquently this morning, when you think about who's moved, he ain't moved. He ain't changed. You might change positions. You might get in another situation. You might change geographically. But God is still with you.
That's right.
And Joseph saw God in his life. I know he had to see it. And it ought to be an encouragement and a blessing to us, because most of us would get so upset. We try to take things into our own hand. But Joseph realized, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So we need to see the harsh reality, but we ought to understand our responsibility. We think about it tonight. We can do one of two things. We can be like Joseph, our here that we see, and realize, first of all, we may think that we have something to prove to others and forget we have someone we need to please.
That's right.
See, I don't have to prove anything to those people that treated me that way, but I do have a heavenly Father that I ought to be wanting to please.
Right.
About how the way I handle myself and the way I handle situations when we're being treated unfairly and unjustly by the way that people do. And what I like about this, not only do we see how Joseph realized his responsibility was, and we see it here in Scripture, that he realized what he was going through, that he did not want to dishonor his God. And that ought to be every one of us when we think about recognizing your responsibility. Thirdly, I want us to think about refuse to get even. Don't try to get even, because you'll spend so much energy and so much of trying to get back at somebody that you'll miss the blessings of God. And like I said before, you spend a lot more energy with bitterness and anger and being after somebody and trying to sit up. You know how many people that you know that think that somebody's doing them wrong? Y'all have people that you work with think that somebody's doing them wrong and think that somebody's out. It's almost like they think you go home at night and sit around and try to figure, I'm going to do this to this person tomorrow. And I'm like, I don't have any idea or clue what you're talking about. I got more to do when I go home at night, love my wife, and try to get some sleep so that I can come back and face you villains again the next day. I'm not going to sit around half the night trying to figure out a way how I can manipulate somebody to hurt them, because that's not what God wants me to do. And you know what? Fooey on you. I don't want to be bothered with you to start with. Why am I going to spend all of that energy trying to get back at somebody when it's just a waste of good opportunities to serve God and to love God? But a lot of people think that. So he refused to retaliate. He could have did that.
That's right.
I think about tonight. When you think about David and Saul, here you got a man chasing you around the world until God moved him out of the position that he was in. And David never, ever tried to do anything to hurt the anointed of God. And he chased him till God moved him off the throne, trying to hurt him. For what reason? Because he was jealous that God had his hands on him, and he's going to be removed from the throne in the first place. And to know what the reason he was being removed was, because he wasn't doing what God would have him to do.
That's right.
You think about it. See, we have to refuse. And David, even when it came to his son Absalom, who was set at the gate and tried to go against his own dad, and when David got into the position of being king, David still never asked his men to do anything against his son. Never did. And he could have did that. Think of how many times Saul was in a position, and David, you know, it's almost like David was in the cave and Saul sleeping. He right there next to him, and he didn't do anything to him, because he realized he was God's anointed.
That's right.
And I think about it tonight, that a lot of people don't realize. Let me say this tonight, in all honesty. You know what? If this anointed man of God is not doing what God would have him to do, you know who's the greatest avenger of his wrongdoing? It's God.
That's right.
And a lot of Christians spend their whole, you know, I had a pastor just share with me this week. A lot of people, when it comes to men in the church and being deacons or what they call other positions they hold, they think the church belongs to them and they need to tell the preacher what to do. And they do everything they can to be against the man of God. But you know what? God will judge you for that, because anything that needs to be done to him, leave that to God.
That's right.
You do what's right, and God will take care of him. Because if you do what's right, God is going to take care of you and take care of him for doing the wrong.
Right.
It wasn't David's place. Even though David could have did that, he was never going to touch God's anointed because he respected him as being God's anointed. Even though he was being treated unjustly and unfair because of what Saul was wanting to do to him. And we spend a lot of energy trying to be God when we ought to just be God's servant and be used of God. David refused to try to get even. He refused to try to get back and retaliate. And again, let me say, when Joseph refused to retaliate, even though he was in the position to do so, instead he forgave his brothers because he realized that getting even was God's business and not his. And again, as God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, saith the Lord. And here we come now to another part of this area of scripture. David now, here is Joseph now, as we go back over here to the father, a little farther in this area of scripture where it comes to Joseph. And in chapter number 45, here's Joseph now, and he is where he had dreams of being, even though he knew he wasn't supposed to be there. I knew about it, but now Joseph comes to the reality of realizing that when his brothers came, as their dad had sent them down into Egypt to get some food, here comes his brothers and they standing before him, and David realized, Joseph, don't put David there, put Joseph there. Joseph realized, now I know what all those dreams that I had, I'm here because of God. It wasn't because of your doing. It's because it's God's doing.
Right.
And when we come to that realization and realize we're where we are, going through what we're going through, see, God had a plan. We have to realize that God has a master plan. And we may not always know what that plan is.
Right.
I think David had a glimpse of it, but now that he sees his brothers, the reality of it comes to him. He said, Joseph, I don't know why Kate, I keep wanting to say David. I should have never mentioned David, huh? But Joseph, he realizes now that was God's plan all along.
That's right.
But what I like about it, David never lost focus. Joseph. Neither one of them lost focus. Joseph never lost focus of his God. He never did. He said, y'all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Right. Amen.
And when I think about those verses, let's look at them just again quickly here. Joseph realized it. And you know, as I think about his brothers, I think about Potiphar's wife. I think about his brothers now standing before him. Joseph does something here that just touched my heart. And that's how I got on this rabbit trail. Look at verse number 5 again, and we read it. He says, now, therefore, be not grieved. Chapter 45, verse 5. He says, now, therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Look at verse number 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. Let me say this tonight. It's just so good when you can look back in the situations that you've been in, and you can come to the realization that it all happened because of God.
Right.
And it's so good that God was involved in all of that. And you think about it. Here's Joseph. If he had never been sold into slavery, he would have never realized that the Lord was with him. If Joseph had not refused Potiphar's wife's invitation, he would have never been thrown into jail. The butlers would have never came and told him the story. And Joseph revealed to Potiphar his dream. And here he is in prison for 2 years. And now he comes out of the prison. They clean him up. And he becomes the second in charge of the greatest nation that was probably on earth at that time. Because of God. Because of God. See, we need to realize that God has a master plan for our lives. Now, we may not be the president of the United States, but when we are a child of God, every hill, every cattle, everything belongs to our God. What's his is mine. That's the greatest position we could ever be in. Because anything in this world, we can't take it with us anyway. Amen?
Amen.
And the joy and the blessing of the Christian life is to realize that where we are, where I'm at in my life, I'm here because of God. They may mean it for bad, but God means it for good. Where are you at tonight? Have you been treated unjust and unfair? And how are you handling it? See, we may not be the Joseph and be second in charge, but you in just a greater position as Joseph could ever been in, because you're a child of God. And he knows exactly what he's doing, because God sees the unjust that's being done to you, because nothing takes him by surprise. And he sees the blessings that he's pouring out on your life as well, because he's God. He knows what he's doing. He's going to reward us for our conduct. He's going to revenge us when those mistreat us. And you may not see it, but you know what? We don't have to see it. We just need to trust God.
That's right.
Keep the right perspective about where you are. Even in the unjust world that we live in, retaliation is not what God wants us to do. God wants us to be a witness. God wants us to be a testimony. God wants to work in our lives, even when we're being treated unfair, to realize that God is allowing that to happen. Joseph wouldn't be or would not have been the person that he ended up being if it had not been what God had taken him through. But Joseph never lost sight of who his God was. And when he saw his brothers, he realized, now all of this, y'all don't be grieved, don't be mad. They were scared to death. Even after he said that, they're like, well, this man might just make us a slave for every year he spent in prison.
Right.
He might just keep us in prison. But Joseph said, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good.
That's right.
What we're going through tonight, folks, no matter what it is, even in the unjust world in which we live, God still means it for good, because he knows where you are. And nothing that's happening to you as a Christian takes God by surprise. Where are you at tonight? Even in the unjust, we have a responsibility. It's rash, it's hard, it hurts, but we need to take comfort in knowing that we can trust the God of heaven, because he knows exactly where we are. And we may not recognize your responsibility, but refuse to get even. And remember, God has a master plan. And if you want to be a part of God's master plan and his blessings, trust God. Amen? Even when we're being mistreated. Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. We're going to ask our pianist to come and play a hymn of invitation. Maybe you're here tonight. You know, and you realize tonight that even through all that's going on, the only way that you can truly experience these things that Joseph did in his life and give God the praise is that you are his child. Joseph was a pawn in the hand of God because of his faith in God. What about you tonight? If you're here tonight, can you say without any doubt, 100% sure, that if you die tonight, you're sure that you go to heaven? Is anyone here like that tonight? You know, we may have a watermelon fellowship, but it would taste even more sweeter if you taste it with your sins forgiven and your place in eternity set by trusting Christ as your Savior. What about you tonight? Anyone here like that? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Anybody, nobody looking around but me. Anybody slip up their hand, I'm not going to come to you, not going to embarrass you, but I just want to pray for you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in that situation. Maybe you're here tonight and you're going through some times in your life and you feel like you're being treated unjustly and unfair. But God knows where you are. God knows what you're going through. And he may be the one, I believe, that's allowing you to go through what you are going through. Will you trust him tonight? Will you trust the God of heaven to realize that you have a responsibility to him? Don't respond, but rely on God. Refuse to get even. Recognize your responsibility and remember God has a master plan. Let's all stand at my feet tonight. We're going to ask her to play a hymn of invitation, and maybe God has spoken to your heart about something. Heads bowed and eyes are closing, no one looking around still, but maybe God has spoken to your heart about dealing with this root of bitterness that could be in your heart. You know, when we harbor these things in our lives, we quench the Holy Spirit and he can't work in our lives. And when we have sin in our hearts of hatred and bitterness and anger, God can't work either. And he won't bless. And if we want God's blessings in our life, we have to realize and recognize that he may be allowing some things to happen because he's God. And what a wonderful thing when we can look back on our lives, even today, and I pray tonight that you can look back and see the blessings of God in your life, even through all that you've gone through and may have been mistreated. You know, sometimes those things happen. Joseph realized that he was where he was, went through what he went through, and God was always with him. And what a blessing it was to come to the end of his life and be such a godly example, because he saved not only his relationship with God, but he saved his family through the famine that was going on. And many lives were changed, and God received the blessings. God received the honor because of a vessel that was yielded to him. What about you tonight? I'm going to ask our pastor to come, and he can close as he sees fit tonight.